Footprints, an original script by Mitchell Berkman with an excerpt from the short story Footprints in the Sand by Mary Stevenson. The time is the present in the town of Shoreside. However, we will soon be witnesses to the afterlife of Joan Jensen, whose fearless and now hairless battle with breast cancer is in its final moments when she realizes she has lost. She is sleeping in her bed when two bumbling but well-meaning little angels appear and prepare her to meet their boss.
What the heck? The report didn't say anything about a ceiling fan in her room. Boy, is dispatch going to hear from me when I get back. Look what it did to my wings. Last night, I got sucked into a vacuum because the maid thought I was a dust bunny. And tonight, I'm practically pulverized into angel dust. Hey, watch out.
Oh, for heaven's sake, another splash landing. I'm as soaked as a celestial teabag. I've got to work on my approach and landing. Tell me, what's the point of keeping a glass of water on your nightstand? Who drinks while they're asleep anyway?
Wrong again. Oh, the amateurs I keep getting paired with. Grab a tissue from that box over there and dry your wings. Okay, now, who is tonight's contestant number one on This Was Your Life? Ah, here it is, Joan Jensen. Well, let's hurry up and give her the good news so we can get going. We have 7 more stops to do tonight. And who knows if I'll be able to straighten up and fly right.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Oh, can I say the magic words at this time, please, please?
Fine. Don't get your halo all bent out of shape. No ad-libbing this time, okay?
I'll be perfectly angelic. Red Rover, let Joan Jensen cross over.
Not that one. You gotta flap your wings and say, when you hear this harp sound, your life will be over. Oh, watch out for that glass on the nightstand. What? What? Bats? There are 2 little white bats in my room. Bats? Why, you're lucky I don't call the other guys after a comment like that.
Yeah, the ones with the red horns and the pointy tails.
Wait, I'm not ready. Holy crap. Give me that harp. Finally. Okay, 1 down, 7 more to go. Well, the report said she was a fighter.
Yeah, we had to do it old school with this one and get her in her sleep.
It was like she knew we were coming.
Yeah, right. Pilates classes, aqua zumba, probiotic smoothies, even past life regressions. We're just trying to do our jobs, you know, nothing personal.
Speaking of which, would you frickin' help me lift her off the bed and get her into that recliner over there? We gotta get a move on so she'll be ready to meet the boss.
Relax. There's plenty of time. Besides, it says on her report that she's got the new age friends and family package. You know, she's gotta go into the light, visit with white-robed well-wishers who have passed on before her. It's all here in the report from the home office.
Well, for once, you're right. It's just as well she got into that new age stuff towards the end. The good ones usually do. It makes the adjustment a lot easier. Makes our job easier, too.
Yeah, no chasing them all over hell and back.
Let's finish this up. We've hung around longer than you know who prefers.
Okay, Joan Jensen. Next time I strum on this harp, you'll be in Boca Raton, Florida.
No, you're wrong again. That's not where you go when you're gone.
Well, it says right here you'll be in God's waiting room. Same thing.
The boss. Gotta go.
Gotta go.
As is often the case, Joan's passing has set into motion a series of events which have culminated in her being laid to rest. and respects being paid by those who knew her. We catch up with the boss and Joan, who are about to watch the whole graveside ceremony from, shall we say, a particularly unique vantage point. Oh, she was so beautiful. I knew her since she was a little girl. Oh,
so many people have come to pay their respects. She was truly loved by all who knew her.
And while this is a sad moment for those of us left behind to mourn Joan's passing, it is a joyous one for her spirit, which will join her loved ones who have gone on before her. Who knows? Perhaps she is in God's presence now, watching over all of us here today.
Oh, so true. How beautiful.
May her memory be a blessing. Amen.
What the? My hair! It's grown back. That's strange. Unless this isn't a dream and I'm actually dead. Wow. What a kick-ass view from up here. These are definitely not the cheap seats. Oh, how sad. Looks like a funeral down there. Wait, it's my funeral. There's my mom, my daughter Jill, my boy Joe. I don't believe it. A denim-covered coffin. You buried me in a denim-covered coffin. Ha! You took me literally. How many times did I say that when I'm gone, just bury me in my blue jeans? And you did it. You actually did it. That's my boy. I sure got lucky with that one.
What you mean to say is that you got off easy with that one.
Oh, Christ.
Nope. I gave him the night off. Try one notch higher.
Good God.
Of course.
Well. Joe didn't need me anymore. I mean, as a junior in high school, he had his shit together way more than I ever did. Seriously, two jobs, good grades. Hey, when the doctor told me I had cancer, I just freaked and took off to live while I still could. I just never told anyone about it. I met a guy who wanted to travel the back roads, and Joe said, "Go for it, Mom." So I did. After he graduated, Joe and I never even saw each other. I mean, he moved to Italy, for Pete's sake.
No, he moved to Italy for his sake. You were so afraid of screwing him up, you convinced yourself he'd be better off without you. No, Jill, your fear of failure took you away long before I even know where Italy was.
Okay. So I was a failure as a mother? Is that what you're trying to tell me? That in our 18 years together, all that he got was a pat on the back and a so long, bucko?
No, Joan. On the contrary. You'll see as you watch him grow up through the years to come what a great mother you were. Few have created so fine a man in even twice the time you two spent together. No, Joan. Your neglect of your body only deprived him of what he wanted most from you, a lifetime of your friendship. That's it. Nothing more. You know, it was actually my intention to keep you around a lot longer. Perhaps even toss in a miracle cure for breast cancer, or at least an indefinite remission for you. But somewhere along the way, you lost your will to live, and that's something even I haven't the power to restore.
I felt so all alone.
And now he too will know what that loneliness...
My body ached with pain.
And now he will ache for the sound of your voice.
I gave him life. Was there nothing more?
Actually, you gave him much more. You gave him your will to live without you. When you gave him that small little plaque with the footprint story on it, remember? He will cherish it and return back to it again and again whenever he questions the existence of either of us.
Footprints? Footprints? Footprints.
Now, yes, now you remember. I made a special appearance as a cashier in that small town souvenir shop so I could point it out to you. But granted, it was not one of my more imaginative characters. But a burning bush would have set off the fire sprinklers and, well, sugar, you're no Moses.
So, you chose to appear as a scruffy old guy at a truck stop counter? The one next to that beer joint I worked in as a cocktail waitress?
Yep, that was me.
What a dump. I mean, the beer joint, not the truck stop where you appeared.
I try to work in mysterious ways, you know. Anyway, I hadn't planned on you giving it away. Should have made you buy two so you could have kept one for yourself. Had you heeded its message, you would have heard my words and might not have lost your faith in me and forgotten my love for you.
Well, that's sweet, but I could barely afford the one. There was so much drama going on in my life. I was literally trying to run from my cancer. Not Joe, or you. That guy I met found out about it, and he just left me holding the reins. So there I was, another cocktail waitress with no health insurance in a tumbleweed town. I missed the birth of my daughter's first baby, Joe's high school graduation. So I sent him that footprints plaque, hoping he would hear my voice in those words and maybe someday he'd forgive me for leaving him to figure it all out on his own.
Your 18-year-old boy figured a lot out on his own.
Well, then, he may eventually forget the sound of my voice, but he'll read that story and never forget how much I cared. He'll look at that tacky, inspiring $1.99 wooden plaque and never wonder where I am and hopefully someday where to find you.
Bring it on home, Joan. I can almost see the homestead fires a-burning.
So, if you gave that plaque to me, and I in turn gave it to him, then it must have been part of your plan for giving him what he would need to survive in a world without me.
There isn't anything more important than a mother can give a child.
Oh, this has been more painful than trying to break in a new pair of boots.
Spoken like a real cowgirl.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch, back at the funeral, the minister is about to hand the show over to Joan's son, Joe, for the eulogy of his late mother.
Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Let me say, it has been an honor to be among such loving friends and family. I'd like to now bring Joan's son, Joseph Jensen, up to eulogize his dearly departed mother.
Oh, so handsome. How beautiful. She would be so proud.
They have the same smile, too.
Thank you, Minister. Your words are a comfort to all of us. But I ask all of you, why are we looking at the ground and feeling sorry for our loss? We should be looking up at the heavens, where I can just feel her watching over us and just be happy for her. She knew this day would come and that she, as she always wanted, would be buried in her blue jeans. A few weeks before my graduation, I received a small package from her. In it was a small wooden plaque with a story that has given me so much hope and so much faith in her, myself, and God. I think Mom would want us all to know that she was always by our side and will always be there for us whenever we need her. The story is called Footprints in the Sand by Mary Stevenson. One night, a woman had a dream. She dreamed she was walking along the beach with God. Across the sky were flashing scenes from her life. For each scene, she noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to her and the other to God. When the last scene of her life flashed before her, she looked back at the footprints in the sand. She noticed that many times along the path of her life, there was only one set of footprints. She also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times in her life. This really bothered her, and she questioned God about it. You said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me every step of the way. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand why when I needed you the most, you would leave me. God replied, my precious child, I love you and I would never leave you. During these times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints in the sand, it was then that I carried you. It's ironic. Mom was convinced that everybody saw her as a bad mother. The truth is that when she left and I was beginning my senior year in high school, I took it instead as a vote of confidence in me, that she believed in me that much, that she had given me all I needed to make it in the world on my own. So, thanks, Mom. I've got this now, but you'll always be my angel.
Ah-ha! Did you hear that? Well, then, I think I'm ready for you, boss. Let's say we saddle up and ride off into the sunset together.
It's a long ride, partner. Let's say we get you fitted with a new pair of wings and get out of town my way.
Thank you. betrayals to you.